review and recommendation report of the portfolio committee dated 16 October 2019, and I will take this opportunity to ask the secretary of the portfolio committee to take us through the report. I want to suggest that, honourable members, we sort of tackle it page by page to avoid going back and front. Just move from the first page up to the end of the document. We'll try to be quick. I think everybody had an opportunity to interact with the document, and we will be in a position, therefore, to ask questions. I know perhaps one has prepared himself or herself noted the necessary questions that or issues that you want to propose to enrich the document. Can you, honor Mr. Monsumi, take us page by page on this chart?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. Just as an introduction, just to say that we apologize for having sent it a day before, but considering that it Parliament only gives us like a week to do budgetary reviews, and they are quite voluminous, the information. The first, and the report is basically done in accordance with the structure that is used by all portfolio committees within Parliament. The first page of the report deals with an introduction, which is the purpose of the budgetary review report, which is informed by the Money Bills Act amendment procedures and the Budget Matters Act. And then 1.2 deals with the role and mandate of the portfolio committee, which is informed by the National Assembly rules. Page 2, 1.3 deals with the description of the core functions of the department. In there, we speak to the mandate that is derived from the NDP, the IPEC, and with the MTSS. 1.4 deals with the method that was undertaken by the committee to get to the report, which is having received the presentations from the Auditor General on the audit outcomes, and also an engagement with the Department of Public Enterprises on the annual report. And that besides that, we only engage with the two, the committee, the report does incorporate the audit findings for all state-owned enterprises, so the report does engage on issues of the performance of all state-owned companies. 1.5 deals with the outcome of the content, outline of the contents of the report. Number one being on page 3, overview of the policy environment. The policy environment, basically it speaks to the historical evolution of the policy on how state, the role of state-owned enterprises from RDP to the MDP, and also focuses on what the President said on the State of the Nation Address in 2019, that we need to focus on those actions that will have the greatest impact, that will catalyze faster movement forward, both in the immediate term and over the next 10 years, and also speaks to how the NDP direct state-owned enterprises. On page 4, these are the 7 priorities that were identified by the state, by the President of the State of National Address, which is economic transformation and job creation, education skills and health, consolidating the social wage through the reliable and quality basic services, and the rest that are listed there. And then it further highlights the emphasis that was made by the President in his sauna, that this, they need to ensure that the state is able to effectively enable economic and social development through state-owned enterprises. Furthermore, on the bottom of page 4, the Minister of Finance in his budget page speech in 2019 outlined the following 6 fundamental steps to constructing his budget, which are achieving a higher economic growth, increasing tax collections, to name but a few. And then on page 5, it further details the interventions that were announced by the Minister of Finance. And it also, at the middle there, it also touches on what the Reserve Bank outlined in its monetary policy review in relation to the macroeconomic risks. And then further down, the state-owned companies are critical in the economic growth and development of the country. And it also highlights the issue of the current financial state occurs. It poses a risk to the economy, the state of state-owned enterprises. But it also mentions the issues of the financial sustainability of state-owned enterprises, and also the action that has been taken in terms of the parliamentary inquiry and also the Zondo Commission. And then on page 6, those are key policy focus of the Department of Public Enterprises as outlined in their strategic plan that was submitted during the budget vote speech. Yes. So that particular section deals with that, and you can see at the bottom there, we have highlighted in terms of what is it that the department had obtained, and what is the department needs to do to ensure that state-owned enterprises perform optimally. And then on page 7, it is a summary of previous year recommendations made by the committee. They are all listed there, and there's quite a number of them. They are almost close to 22. And in drafting the recommendations for this particular year, we will also see that some of the recommendations that we have there, the department still has not implemented them. So some of them, I have tried to include them in the end. As part of the recommendation, because the department has not implemented some of the recommendations. And then if we move to page 13, which is these three pages are recommendations of the last financial year. Yeah. Page 13 deals with the financial performance. I think Lily can just give highlights of the financial performance.
On page 13 is just a review of what was basically submitted in the annual report. So on page 4, it's the first part, it says the enterprises spend 99.3% of its budget. So the budget for the year was 6.5 billion, and then they spent 6.47 billion. And then the rest of page 13 and page 14, it just gives a breakdown of how the money was spent. So on page 14, it will show you in the table 2, it will show you what was spent in the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter per program. And in the fourth quarter, you will see that it went up to 6.44 billion, because that was when they received the 5.2 billion in the MTPPS in November. So that's when their budget increased. So their budget increased from 273 million to the 6.5 billion that was spent by the end of the year. Okay, and page 15 is just going on with the quarterly analysis, as well as page 16. And then on page 17, we go to the Auditor General's report. So just before the Auditor General's report, on page 17, it's just an analysis of what happened during the year. Like I said, department spent 4.7 of their 6.5 billion budget. And then whatever money was left over, they gave back to the revenue fund. and most of the money was paid for SAA and SAA Express. SAA was the $5 billion, and SAA Express was $1.2 billion that they received in the adjusted budget. Then going to the Auditor General's report, the department received an unqualified audit with no findings, so there was nothing written about the department. And then we go through to the entities. On page 18, we go alphabetically through the SOCs, so AliceCorp. For the previous financial year, they received an unqualified audit opinion, but in the current year, they have not submitted their annual report because they have financial difficulties. And then 4.2 is the NOW. The NOW also, they added this for the current year, they've got a disclaimer of opinion, which basically means that the auditors were unable to obtain sufficient audit evidence for them to make an opinion on the audit. And then 4.4.3 is SAFCO. SAFCO received a qualified audit for this financial year, as well as in the previous financial year, which they submitted late last year. And then for ESCOM, ESCOM again received a qualified audit for the third year in a row. And if we go on the next page, page 21, Transnet received a qualified audit opinion based on their legal expenditure, and their legal expenditure was $8.1 billion. Oh no, that was previous year. This year it was again qualified also with a higher irregular expenditure. It went from 8.1 to 41.5 billion in the current financial year. Then for SA Express and SAA on page 22, both of these entities have not tabled the 2018-19 annual reports because they're still in financial difficulty and they're still having going concern issues for both of the entities. Even though they have received funding from government, it was basically both of the funding was to pay off debt. So they're still requesting more money from government. Okay, so on page 23, 4.5 is the department's current financial year, how they're currently spending. So it's just basically what they've done in the first quarter from April to June 2019. So they have a total appropriated budget of $293 million for the department, of which they've spent $53.8 million. We go to page 24. It's just a further breakdown of how they have spent. So they've mostly spent on compensation of employees and goods and services. They've spent $40 million on compensation of employees, and they've spent $12 million on goods and services. And most of this money has been spent under administration, which spent $33 million. The other two programs spent $8.3 million and $12.5 million respectively for the other two programs. Then we get to, at the bottom of page 24, the MTF financial allocations for the next financial year for 2020-2021. So currently what's been allocated to them, if you look at on page 25 on table 3, you'll see in the second, third column, it says that they're going to have, currently, they have an allocation of $312.8 million, which is still to be approved by the finance minister, but that is indicative of what they're going to get, 13.12, which is a 6.6% increase. So part of the BRRR is we request the department to submit what allocations they're requesting from National Treasury for next year. So DPE has submitted three requests for SAA, SAA Express, and Danal. So if you look on page 25, the last paragraph, it says the department has requested additional funds for the capital injection of $13.2 billion, $1.1 billion, and $1 billion in respect of South African Airways, South African Express, and Danal. So on pages 26 and 27, it's just giving detail of how they request, why, and how they're requesting. So I'm just going to read it so that at the end, the committee must make a decision whether they're going to support this or not, or they can just leave it to the, they can just say the finance minister should consider the request in case the committee doesn't want to express a view on this. So for 4.6.1 for African Airways, that says, in terms of funding received from government, in 2017-18, SAA received a recapitalization of $10 billion, which enabled the entity to settle some of its long-term debts. SAA further received $5 billion recapitalization in 2018-19 financial year, which was last year, for the repayment of the short-term bank bridge facility loan in November 2018. Despite government providing these capital injections, the airline remains insolvent, with its liabilities exceeding its assets by $13 billion as at March 2019, and has a significant amount of outstanding debt and liabilities that is unable to service. Taking into consideration all challenges faced by the airways, without the recapitalization, the turnaround cannot succeed. The allocations recommended by the department in this regard are as follows. For the next financial year, 2021, $4.7 billion. For 21-22, $4.5 billion. And 22-23, $4 billion. An allocation application has already been made by the department on behalf of SAA for an allocation of funding out of the contingency reserve. The allocation of $4.7 billion proposed for 2021 would allow for the repayment of the $4 billion facility that SAA requires to meet its liquidity requirements in 2019-20, the current financial year, as well as to have a small reduction of the $9.2 billion of existing debt. So that is for SAA. For South African Express, following its suspension of services by the South African Civil Aviation Authority on the 24th of May 2018, the airline requested an emergency injection of $2.3 billion. The emergency funding required was due to the fact that the airline did not have sufficient funding to continue with its operations. This was the case even prior to the suspension of services, which later exasperated by the grounding. SAA Express was issued with an additional $1.74 billion guarantee in June 2018, bringing the total facility to $2.596 billion, of which SAA Express utilized $400 million to secure a loan facility. So this is just a guarantee, it's not actual money, it's just a guarantee that they can loan again. The recapitalization of $1.2 billion announced at the medium-term budget policy statement in October 2018 was transferred to the airline in January 2019. The next page, page 27. The funding allocation has restored SAA Express to solvency. The airline had an equity balance of $386 million as at 30th of April 2019 based on the management account. Prior to that, all the equity has been eroded due to losses incurred over the years. However, as the funding was earmarked for the repayment of existing guaranteed debt, it did not improve the airline's liquidity position. The airline has applied for $1.087 billion, which is the balance of the $2.3 billion that it applied for in the 2018-19 medium-term budget policy statement. The allocations recommended by the department in this regard are as follows. For 2021, $380 million, 21-22, $500 million, and 22-23, $207 million. So that's the allocation for SAA Express. Then for Danal, 4.6.3. Danal is experiencing severe liquidity and solvency challenges which are adversely affecting the company's viability and putting the company's existence at risk. Danal management have reported that the SOC is currently technically insolvent. The unaudited financial results for the year ended 31 March 2019 so that the company has negative equity of $1 billion and a loss of $1.9 billion. Danal is unable to meet its financial obligations with debts to suppliers mounting and operations halted across divisions. The department has made a request for Danal to be granted a total equity injection of $2.8 billion, with $1.8 billion to be accessed through the contingency reserve that was announced by the Minister of Finance in the 2019 budget speech, and the remaining $1 billion to be allocated in 2021. The equity injection of $2.8 billion will ensure that Danal is returned to solvency, allowing it to operate more independently. The envisioned improved debt-to-equity position will allow the company to secure additional funding on the strength of its balance sheet to execute major contracts. A stronger balance sheet will enable the company to be sustainable and increase its order pipeline. So that's that was the motivation that the department submitted for SAA, SAA Express, and Danal. Then on page 28, 4.7 is just the concluding comments on the financial performance. So it just basically gives a highlight of everything that really said with regards to the financial performance. So the committee, I'm going to hand it back over to the design, but the committee just needs to consider the MTF allocation with regards to SA Express, SAA, and Danel, whether you want them in the to support the allocation or if you have another view on the matter.
Yeah. Number five is dealing with an assessment of the service delivery performance of the department and state-owned enterprises. Rodney, I'm going to ask Rodicha to just run quickly through this part.
Thank you, Chair. I think we observed the service delivery performance of the department is found in the mandate of the department where they provide oversight responsibilities of government to SOCs and also it aligns with the national development plan, the national strategic plan framework, the new growth path and the industrial policies action plan. So the department actually uses three programs to deliver on its services. So it does not necessarily have, like you say, this delivery function, but then its environment is to monitor and to provide that oversight. So I think this comes from the realignment of the sort of the department, so it focuses on administration, state-owned companies, governance, assurance and performance, and business enhancement, transformation, industrialization programs. So I think on page 29, we still we look at the administration, which comes to the core of the department, the ministry, management, corporate, the chief financial officer, human resources, communications, so all the monitoring and evaluation and internal audit. So the program performance, I think they outline what they've achieved over the year, which were skills intervention plans and also training interventions of department employees, and with about 50 bursary holders in the department, and they also outline the issues of the realignment of the structure and ensure the centralization of cross-cutting functions like financial analysis and funding that was introduced in the program. So I think when we look at the core, which is the government shield management deal, the target was prioritized and moved from 2021 to 2022. So that's what the department is intending to do, is to achieve it, because they haven't achieved it as yet in the program. So it's worth it to note that we take it from what they are reporting and also look at the annual performance plan. So we'll see a committee observation of what we'll say was raised when you were interacting with the department. I think one area is the planning and annual reporting framework. Some of the programs, when you analyze and you look, are not supported. Like the communications, we don't see how they want to advance the strategic. They only focus on three or strategic objectives. So all the sub-programs have been prioritizing their plans. Then the high vacancy rate has been noted as well. And then the issue of vacancies, SMS levels, vacant positions. I think it runs through the department. So those are some of the things that we've seen in this program. They need to be addressed. And then the second program is governance and performance. and then I go to PCTA also to get the purpose of the program, and then B focuses on the performance of the program, where the equipment has done, they've achieved on shoulder, through the line, the lifestyle audit, reviewed some of the audit reports, and producing government-centric practices report. And then the department also intends to, it has been appointed as the secretariat for the resource cancer, where it was it was going to, the platform was going to be issues of children and the management policy on how to restore government and processes. So they also achieved on restoring boards and reviewing and appointing the boards for trust container, adopting expressions of hope. And I think they continue to deal with issues where they have achieved. And I think 32 deals with the Overvalued Resource Act, which is the founding legislation for Aventura. So they also, I think, this act to be repealed to Parliament, so to be repealed. So the committee has dealt with this issue. And then we deal with some of the issues that the program has highlighted on, where some of the measures to improve SOC performance do not be sufficiently addressed, and where we look at the cross-cutting function in monitoring the development and SOCs, which is, seems as if the department, as much as it intends in line with the policy aspirations that have been outlined earlier by the Secretary on a strong shareholder, the function does not translate to how they monitor the SOC environment, its performance. So this should be done through, I think, dashboards which will provide an opportunity for the department to detect warnings, enabling the ability to implement corrective measures. So I think it's an issue of how the also deal with issues of legislative prescription to unlock the value of SOC. So what you've also seen in the interdepartmental and intergovernmental coordination is not as strong, where we look at areas where they need support, they didn't interfere or provincial, local and government, the issues of municipalities, the issues of developing community issues and economic development and council community, where they work better with other departments. So that is not coming so clearly. The second program, I think, it's business in program 3, first grade 2.6. It's the business enhancement and industrialization. And it's got programs on energy resources, business enhancement, transport and defense research, and economic modeling. So business enhancement deals with skills development. So some of the SOCs haven't reached the skills targets. I think one of the areas is the financial constraints and skills development. So you know that ALGISA and GIPSA has emphasized, and even the NDP, on critical skills like artisan. And SOCs are positioned with this restructuring process to focus the intervention on skills development. So So one area also was the industrialization and objective and localization objective. I think the implementation of broad-based economic empowerment and development of SMEs, local industries, and women and youth enterprises. Those targets also still a bit of a challenge for C2C. And then the department has been able to craft programs relating to environmental issues. Then I know that ESCOM has got issues with the commissioning of power plants, so that area needs to also be looked at. And I think we re-emphasize the need to spend on the targets and the sources and the ability, the inability to for SOCs to procure locally on major projects. It's still a challenge because of so I think there's a need for them to look at that. So the triple P SME is always concerned about it. And then the issue that was raised in the, by the Minister of Finance on carbon tax. So that will have an impact, especially for industries such as ESCOM and Transnet. And on energy resources, which is D, the department focuses on progress that has been made in ESCOM, in Safcon, Alexco. And we also look at the community conservation, which we still, the committee notes the financial challenges for its firms, the cost drivers were determined and outlined in ESCOM's financial report to the committee as cost of debt, operational expenses, and non-payment from municipalities. So these were the cost drivers which were raised. And we also note the cost of build associated with the build program, the experiences and challenges with technical design of the build program is also a concern. It's also a concern. So the Department of Energy introduced this IRP there. We think the Department of Public Enterprises needs to outline the role of ESCOM in the attainment of the budget. So the new shift towards renewables needs to be dealt with. And then the issue of guarantees and contingent liabilities of ESCOM need to be dealt with, and also the issue of the unbundling into three units, generation, transmission, distribution, has to be spelled out to the committee. So we deal with issues of self-call. There's still a challenge. There are no issues. I think the interdepartmental, intergovernmental coordination, also use platforms such as the economic sectors, employment and infrastructure cluster, and cabinet decisions. So these were raised last year, and it's something that is going to follow up on whether the department has dealt with these issues. And then the Alexco, the committee is concerned with the future sustainability of Alexco. So in this year, Alexco was unable to submit its financial statement as a result of not being performed. So an administrator, so we deal with the issues that were tabled to the committee in terms of depletion of cash reserves, challenges with the GPS teams and the ways that they need to deal with legacy issues such as the need for settlement, the community property association, township, and the community rehabilitation program. I think Lee has voted well on these issues that 5.2.5 on transport and defense related to SAA committee, the committee has impacted these issues. The South African Express and Denia. So, and then issues related to Transnet as well, supported. And then we go to 39, where we also list some of the observations related to the debt in SA Express and SAA, the impact the governance and leadership issues in terms of permanent chairman and CEO, and then the inability to implement the sound turnaround issues related to strategic equity partner that needs to be reported, and then the regionalization of these three entities are organized. Airways, Mango, and South African Express into a single entity. And we also deal with issues related to Transnet. But then one area that the, whilst everything looks good at Transnet, the concern I think for the committee should be, or is, that there's a growing concern that has been emphasized by the Auditor General in the current financial year and prior financial year. So with loan covenants, modification of the audit opinion, which triggers a potential recall of certain loan facilities as well as potential trigger cross default clauses of other facilities. In the event that this should return, there will be insufficient resources for Transnet to meet its obligation on ordinary course of business. So these were the issues that the audit opinion raised in the meeting and followed through Transnet and the department and how the facilities don't cover potential that they have on impact on that business. And then I think last is the issue of the man and what was observed during the committee's visit to the PNP and brought issues which were reported in the finance section that how will these new current financial support packages that and then the second sub-program is research and modeling, where the detailed studies that were conducted by the department and energy resources plan, black industrial program, the issues related to the enterprise program, and the concluding remarks on the service delivery performance. And then I think six deals with service delivery, which is financial performance. But it's actually there is progress on some of the targets which the department has recommended for the committee to improve on. The very commitment sets the department into the right path. And the achievements, I think one of the issues to deal with corruption, maladministration, so putting the anti-fraud guidelines and numbers, and the review of corporate. I think it just brings everything together to say this is what is observed, that the improvement in the department and the imminent performance. So the last paragraph deals with the inability with with the inability to finalize shareholder compact is, I think, the one that moves from. It says the inability to finalize shareholder compact places both the department and the entity at risk of not continuing the shareholder influence agreement with the board and the city. So one area that we've looked at is that the challenges with signing of shareholder contracts, and those shareholder contracts have to be translated into performance agreements of board members between the minister and the board members, and then the board has to contract its executive based on that. So the inability to do that, so part of the reason why that is an issue with long-term negotiations on the target. So that is something that I think we're going to see through. Okay. And the last is concluding remarks. And I think
okay. Thank you. I think we can zoom into the recommendations of the committee, which is number 8 of the
number 9.
Yeah, recommendations. I will read them out, and then the members can. Maybe I will after I read the first one. Then the members can say if it must stay or it must be changed. The first one says, the committee recommends that the Minister of Public Enterprises should discourage acting roles within departments and ensure that all vacancies are filled, particularly those of the Director General and all senior management servants within this financial year. The second one is ensure that the capacitation of the internal audit function in the department and state-owned companies to institute audit and risk assessment in board in line with the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act, together with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, develop mechanisms for appropriate sanctions to discourage poor performance, ensure that attainment of targets in the annual performance plan are aligned to budget planning and spending performance. Institute timely consequences for executives and management who deliberately or negligently ignore their duties and contravene legislation. A list of actions taken against transgressors must be provided quarterly to the committee for follow-up on of all irregular progress and wasteful expenditure. Fast-track the introduction of a shareholder management plan which will empower the department to carry out oversight responsibilities of SOCs more effectively, especially in providing guidance on how to align SOC strategic priorities with government policies. The department should present a draft bill to the committee by the end of March 2020, which is the end of the financial year. Present the committee with a funding plan, cost containment, and revenue maximization strategy for ESCOM, SAA, South Africa, Alex Post, South Africa Express Airways, and Janelle before the end of the financial year. Ensure that the shareholder compact are signed on time and submitted to the committee to enhance its oversight role within a month of signing. Present a model for SOC oversight to a program with clear targets for monitoring, evaluation, and reporting within the financial year. Present a report or the committee report on the SOC's restructuring process and unbundling of ESCOM into three entities, namely generation, transmission, and distribution. Improve communication in order to educate the public on the role of SOCs, their capabilities, and their developmental role in the economy. Present quarterly progress reports on the development of the shareholder management bill to the committee. Ensure that all SOCs meet performance targets on skill development, job creation, and localization strategies, and provide the committee with quarterly reports. Provide the committee with quarterly reports on the assessment on sales of non-core assets of SOCs. Provide the committee with progress report to ensure that
Alexco, South African Airways, South African Express Airways are able to meet their annual financial statements on time as per the Public Finance Management Act. The report should contain lasting mechanisms to avoid such occurrences going forward in all SOCs. The report must be submitted to the committee within the financial year. Provide the committee with progress updates in ensuring that the future role of Alexco, and addressing socio-economic outcomes of the Richtersveld and Alexander Bay communities. Ensure that the future role of Alexco is clarified and the commercial and public mandates are diversified and expanded and community land claim issues are resolved. Ensure that all the recommendations by the Auditor General are sufficiently addressed and progress reported to the committee on a quarterly basis. Ensure that there is ethical leadership in board and ensure appropriate sanction for breaches and transgression in SOCs. When 19 says, immediately strengthen and improve the department's oversight effectiveness over its SOCs with emphasis on the following. Appropriate and effective planning and budgeting processes are put in place. The financial management and control structures and processes are such that accurate, timely, and reliable recording and reporting of all financial transactions taking place. That the appropriate financial management systems and controls are in place to ensure the effective management of the financial affairs. That the financial affairs and performance report that is acceptable in terms of the corporate plans and the shareholder compact. Significantly enhanced reporting and accountability arrangements that facilitate an appropriate oversight by the department. And urgently develop technical capacity within the department to oversee the SOC. And provide committee with quarterly report regarding the implementation of this recommendation.
You done?
Yeah. That's the last part is that, the concluding remarks. Yeah. The concluding remarks note that the committee notes that the medium-term expenditure framework funding request and the MTBPS funding already given to SAA and South African Express. The committee will engage further with the Department of Public Enterprises and the relevant entities regarding the request. The committee would like to express gratitude to the Auditor General, management of the Department of Public Enterprises, state-owned companies, and the parliamentary officials supporting the committee for their hard work and cooperation during this process.
Thank you, Mr. Jomi and your team. Honorable members, I think, I don't know whether you agree with me that we will go from one page to the next. If you have anything to add or omit, yeah, I think that should be, if we agree. Honorable Mazo.
Chair, I just want to say on the onset, this is the first BRR that we're doing as a committee together, and it's the DA's practice that I then take this particular report to my caucus and we discuss it. So the DA reserves all its rights in this regard, and I won't make a proclamation of whether or not we support it because it must be taken to my caucus first. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Shalala. Agree with that format. Okay. Can we start engaging then? Honourable members? Waiting for the hands. Okay. Honourable Gwanazi.
Thanks, Chair.
Can you use your mic, please?
question.
I think from OCAC, thank you very much for the report and for the team led by Desam. Am I pronouncing correct? Yes. The report is, I think it's detailed. But Chair, can I get something before I say my point? The recommendations are of the priority listed, or it's just numbers?
It's just numbers.
I think
it's just numbers.
Okay. Che, if we said within the financial year, I'm comfortable with that, taking what Honorable Shabalala has said to say, I think we'll receive the information, and we'll receive the information in time. I think we had enough time to engage on the report. I'm very comfortable with that. But Che, what is the tool that we are using as the committee? Let's say, for example, recommendation 9.1.1. For me, it is very important. And let's say it is not achieved within the financial year. What then happens after that? Or what is it that we can do as the committee to make sure that that recommendation is realized before I further comment? Thank you.
I will rather suggest, Honorable Mkhwanazi, to come up with your suggestions. We are a very important component of the state. We're the legislative arm of the state. We, of which the state is also having, this is our own state enterprises. Therefore, this portfolio committee, we do have power to give a direction as to what we want to have. If your suggestion is that this has to happen now, we will face if we'll have to come up with our own sanction if that has not been achieved according to our proposal. Therefore, we suggest that we come straight, let's not have the if, come straight with our suggestion. We are a very important arm of the state.
Okay, can I come back to commit the official that what is required because of this recommendation, we will need that framework. That remember, the departments must report every quarter, but their reporting is more financial. But the committee wants to focus more than just financial, so we'll have to develop as the officials that framework in terms of what they must report on a quarterly basis based on our recommendations. Then the committee adopts it, and then we tell the department, you must report to us quarterly on all these issues.
Back to you, Honourable
Kwasi. Follow-up, Chair. I'd be more comfortable on that quarterly report format, because I think we need to be taken on sort of not on a day-to-day basis, but on the process, to say the process is now here. If we're not happy, what is it that we can do? Emphasize on the points that we have raised, on the tools that we are making. But Chair, on 9.1.15, I think it's just a type error or something, or my English, in fact, I'm not an English person, provide the committee with progress updates in ensuring the future role of ALESCO on addressing socio-economic outcomes, not end, I think on. And that point is very important. I remember one the portfolio committee meeting, we did put an issue of what the effects of that in that particular community. so I think for that. 9.1.18, to ensure that there is an active leadership in force and ensure appropriate sanction for breaches of transactions in SOEs. Chairperson, it's always raised, particularly by Honorable Judge Shabalala, the issue of vetting of boards. So where are we putting it in this recommendation? I think because it's one of the resolutions of one of the portfolio committee meetings to say we need to be taken into confidence that those board members are being vetted before they've been bought. So, Chairperson, I'm really at your mercy to say whether we put that vetting process in that 9.1.18 or develop a new recommendation. But I think that needs to be part of our recommendations, and we need to be taken through in all the boards of the SOA. For now, Chair, that will be my submission.
Thank you, Chairperson, for making an important person sharing your mic with you. So generous. You are so generous. let's welcome the report. It's quite intense, but obviously it speaks about the previous years. And when you look into the recommendations and of the last year and the recommendation now, there isn't much variation. There's lots of repetition, and I will not cite, but on the part of the Minister of Finance, I'm not very much comfortable necessarily, but I want your assistance insofar as us shifting most of financial kind of oversight responsibility somewhat to the Minister of Finance, while we have the Minister of Public Enterprise, then must do that. Understand the role of the Minister of Finance insofar as the bailout and the fact that he's busy now with the special appropriations on ESCOM. But really for us, there's a paragraph, I've messed up my notes, my laptop is off, where it cites that the Minister of Finance must look into almost all these entities and kind of come in terms of advising on its finances. So for me, I feel that we kind of putting a bit of pressure on trying to make Minister of Finance be a co-minister of public enterprise. They won't meet at the end of the page 15, the majority of department budget is spent on compensation of employees, goods and services, and then it will list the percentage there, and the percent, but then you further go on that the department kind of did well, but at the same time, the next paragraph says that Treasury notes that the department intended to implement a new organizational structure, blah, blah. Implementation was put on hold following a change in leadership prior to the beginning of the new financial year. So I take it this is part of, we say financial performance, but for me it's more like an observation to the recommendation that that speaks to the HR when we speak about the feeling of vacancy. So I thought that it's important for it to also be cited in some of the observations. Let me just go to the recommendation. Page 37. It's about UNESCO, the depletion of cash reserves. I think you, there's a sentence where you speak about PSJV, perhaps it's abbreviated, if you can just write it in full, that would be important. Then you further say we lead to a decline in the socioeconomic development outcomes of the communities in Richards Falls and Alexander Bay. The department should seek ways to address the legal issues of implementation, these are settlements. We know these things, and I take it on these matters of community property association, township establishment. This is part of the appointment of the administrator. I don't know, but I take it as part of, beside the financial stability of Alaska, he needs to go further and look into this thing. Then the recommendation kind of, you say the department should provide a committee with future role for Alaska in light with the challenges. I don't think we want to see the department to really provide the committee with future role. The role of Alaska and the mandate, we know why it exists, hence you would write it's important that they need to engage with the community, deal with issues of days of settlement, so clearly your answer is it. But for us to put it as the department telling us about the role in the future in light of the challenges, I don't know what we intend. So I'll just rather suggest that we say that we need, you know, the department should continue to give support and proper oversight so Alaska to improve. There needs to, yeah, so the department must give that type of a support. But to also say that part of when we engaged with Alaska, we did take a decision as a committee that would want to form part of a public hearing, somewhat oversight to Alaska with all the stakeholders, the municipality, the provincial government, Alaska itself, the DPE and the PC, and the community implementators. I think it should be something that we need to highlight as part of enriching our program, because it's what we see. Chairperson, on the recommendation, page 46, I'm getting the page 46, 9.1.10, it says improve communication and in order to educate. I would rather perhaps put it, because it's part of the discussion we had, that ESCOM needs to improve communication, but also educate. So it should improve education and educate the public, because the outcry is that there isn't much education and the communication that is coming from ESCOM in this instance. And 9.1.15 also speaks to all public meetings, just the last statement. 9.1.18, ensure that there is ethical leadership in ports and ensure appropriate sanctions for breaches and transgressions. I think Honorable Connors, it covered me. I wanted to take it further so that we write it and put it there, the vetting of all board members and lifestyle audits. Because I can tell you, we asked that question and we hear the media reporting today as the FM. They're speaking about board members who are refusing to be vetted. And I was shocked because I asked that question to the department twice to say, are you sure? Can you confirm? So it's quite disturbing. But for us, let's put it there as part of the recommendation. We want to see that happening. Then 9.119, page 47, provide a committee with the agency develop technical capacity within the department to oversee its SOCs. I think I'm adding one, when you say provide a committee with quarterly purpose reports regarding the implementation of this recommendation, and the department should strengthen. I think department should strengthen its communication, so they also write to the chairperson, obviously, on any matter of public information or public discourse that needs to come out, in the committee might not be sitting, but the information should come henceforth so that we don't hear things on the street, we're left on the back foot, because these are ongoing. They're kind of, work in progress. I mean, SAA, we fly every day. The Transnet, it's every day. So these are every day beside our framework that I'm happy with, that you're going to be able to develop Chipperson. Just the last concluding remarks. The committee would like to express its gratitude and happy with it. Just the first one. Committee notes MTF funding requests. Funding already given to SAA, the committee will engage further with the Department of Public Enterprise and the relevant entities regarding the request. I need to get the legality of it. Remember you read the funding and we need to take a decision on, but I need to understand when you say the committee will engage further. The request has been made, obviously, on the table. So why are we saying that we will further engage? Are we further engaging on what the money should do and so forth and so on? So if you can just make me understand the legal prescripts of it, are we expected to do so, or is just a recommendation that says the committee will continue to provide proper oversight and follow the money? Because that's what we need to do, to follow the money that are bidding out, if it's doing its work through those quarterly reports or any other reports that we think that we want the information on. But for us to write almost as if we're going to be an arbitrator in the middle of SOCs requesting money within Treasury. Thank you.
You committee, sorry, honourable committee.
What's wrong? Address and the comrade that means a paper. No, Chair, it looks as if there is quite a lot of emphasis on oversight. I just want to find out perhaps all the confirmation from the committee that would it be possible as the emphasis that we stipulate the frequency. How often as a committee do we want to do the oversight? Especially, you know, it would have been ideal, or it's ideal, that when quarterly reports are received, at least we would have done the oversight so that we are in a position to correct. But I understand time is against us. So that's said that, in fact, one suggests that let's find a way, one way or the other, that it would be a nice thing as a guide, as a caution to us, that we need to do the frequency. Secondly, Chair, the recommendations, reading them, they do have kind of implications. It could be in the form of discipline or punitive measures and things like those. I think this is to be captured. In fact, I wish to recommend that all those that are affected or will be affected by these recommendations be given the report of this recommendation so that they understand how they'll do it, rather than a person not knowing the content of the recommendation, he or she finds themselves having to be disciplined. Whether in a form of a manager or what, it has to be communicated to all people affected. Then we have done service to all other people that may face the disciplinary action in the near future. Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to comment on those two.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to find out one thing in terms of the recommendation 9.1.18, whether we should not put a time frame there like we've done the other regulations in terms of saying within this financial year. Otherwise, we'll say in terms of betting into the cooler.
both members should be vetted, and then we'll pay with this thing for in the next financial year, wherever you can say all of them within this particular financial year. Yes. Second, just a point in passing on the conclusion, concluding remarks rather. I'm not sure we are expressing gratitude here to everyone, but when I look at the state-owned entities in their current form, do they deserve such a gratitude? So that is the answer. No, the problem now is that with the indirectly attacking people that find those problems there. You know, is there any other person you want to respond? Because I want just to add something, but already said, by the way, that while these oversights are very important, I fully anticipate Honorable Matsone is out. But she warned us at the beginning about the oversight, that we will be getting all the glossy kind of pictures and the other important, also important issues being hidden. But I'm raising it because we did a lot, we did a very good oversight to familiarize ourselves with these state-owned enterprises. But in our way back, we realized that there are things that were not being told. Therefore, we need to call for more transparency to the committee by these state-owned enterprises when they are presenting. They must not just present us the stats, well, the amounts and all that, and not give us the detail of their experience and problems, including challenges, their own internal difficulties that they have, so that we are not being on our way back, we are surprised by information in the media. For example, today, we only got on the radios and TV that actually we are, today, we have load shedding in the entire country. And that didn't come to us. Therefore, ESCOM, as a key stakeholder, supposed to inform us about those important developments so that we are not caught by surprise on the media. Therefore, that I think we need to put there. We also denied at some point we heard about the 100, 250 million exports. That were not delivered, you know, and we got that from the media. Therefore, the issue of transparency becomes very important to the committee so that we are in a position to understand what informs that particular problem they are experiencing. Otherwise, if they don't, it's something that happened in our backs, and it can implicate us, because we'll be asked, you were there. And then, by the way, you were there. And then, really, you were there. But how come, as a committee, you don't know this? You know? And I think we need to have in our accommodation that kind of. Also, the ministry should respond promptly on matters referred to them by the portfolio committee. Anything, especially if that particular thing is from the public, and then to the committee, and we refer to them. We must get that particular information as a matter of agency, because it can also court us in another way. Therefore, I agree with all the recommendation made by Honorable Shabalala and the Mkwanas, including Honorable Kumet and the Ngosu Tirizi. I think I fully agree with all their recommendation. Can you come up?
Yes.
Oh, Honorable Jamin,
yes.
I thought we are on boycott today.
No.
Okay.
Mine is on 91.2. What is the strategy that should be continued by the professionals to know that they can, how many people that they get a job, get job candidates, job creation and skills development? Because sometimes we don't know how many people, how they access to have to get the skill development.
Yeah, I think it's your turn then, guys.
Yeah, I just want to reply to Andrew Shabalala regarding the MTF request. So the MTF request, I think the Simon just put it in the concluding remarks, if the committee didn't want to express an opinion, that is just maybe if the committee wants to get further clarification on the MTF request before making an opinion, because you can make a request to the minister or a recommendation to the minister that you should look favourably at the allocation, or if you don't want to say anything, then that concluding remark would be appropriate to say that you would further engage with the department and maybe get more information before supporting the department or making other recommendations.
Just to add on what Leah said, even the statement is not casting stones. Like if you are proposing that the committee can actually say that we'll actually be engaging the entities regarding the request in a view to oversee, because we are only going to oversee that if the decision by the Minister of Finance has already been taken, then the money will be going. We can't stop, we can't do anything, but ours is just to oversee, like you said. So we can just amend it to also speak to the issue of overseeing that. And then on the other issues, I think we will make the amendments as suggested by the members, particularly on the issues that have been raised. And then on the issues, you spoke about the issue of the oversight. There are other issues that we will put them in the minutes, but we'll not put them in the report if it's a recommendation to the committee. Like Honorable Gumede, when we say that we must make a pronouncement in terms of the frequency of how often we want to do the oversight, that is an internal arrangement. You cannot put it as a recommendation, because we'll be as if we're recommending to ourselves. But it's a decision of the committee to say that this is how we want to work, and this is how we're going to do this oversight. This is how often we're going to call you, but it might not be in the report, but we put it in the minutes, because it's a recommendation to the committee. Even like, for example, the one that says the committee will do this, it will then go into the minutes as a decision of the committee.
In that case, then I suggest that we seek it out. It's there. It's in the observation at this point, but not in the engagement point of view. Would rather, you know, supplement by we'll continue to monitor the work and of course the MP, the framework as well. In fact, we want to monitor the recommendations of ERR, because that's the purpose of ERR. And so we must state in Parliament, so when Parliament adopts the report, we've made that commitment that we want to monitor, because all these things, the good things that come around, we've put timelines, financial years. So from your framework, that is very critical to us. It's going to help us to be focused monthly and monthly up until when we arrive at that March. We should be in a position to get the things that we've requested to be at the next day.
Okay. You're still responding.
I think the committee has power to call the department to account and to provide oversight, but also it has strong recommendations that in the budgetary processes, because it can also, where things are not going right, like as you were saying, like
what mechanism can you bring into, I think the quarterly report can assist, but also to say that this is a budgetary process where monies are going to be allocated, and then recommendations can also be made on areas that the department is not performing on, to say the department will not be supported, but that would be an extreme because it's an intervention when it comes to that. So it becomes a bit difficult when it gets to that level where the department is not supported. But then I think in terms of monitoring skills and intervention, where how do the department sees the contribution of skills. So when the department enters into a contract with ADESCO or ESCO, so in this contract, there's a section where they're dealing with issues of skills. The skills intervention out of our progress this year will train 1,000 or train 5,000 learners on male rights, on partisanship, or anything that they see as a priority. And then other skills intervention, which are part of a social program, maybe a corporate social investment program within the department, is to maybe provide bursaries to learners and internships to learners, and also internships, learnerships, bursaries, and maybe training programs. So those are part of that training intervention that can be coordinated via the CETAs, the department, all of them. So the department, even the DTI, the target. So it's a coordination mechanism. So I think on that, on the skills, and I think the issues relating to the future role, how it got into the recommendations, because it's a standard issue. That the ADESCO is 51% and the PSJV is like 49%. So according to the deed of settlement. So the board members are sitting with 49% of what used to be 100% state-owned company. So because of the tension in terms of who complies with the TSD, all of the government issues, they ended up having challenges in terms of. So the balance sheet of ADESCO on its own has declined as a result of these two matching. And it hasn't. So we're looking at industries where they're talking about fisheries, where they're talking about coal mining at some point, or how is ADESCO going to be repositioned? But we take your that we need to support the mandate, and we need to ensure that all the issues that have been addressed are dealt with. And then I think most of the issues are going to find themselves in the structure, especially with the issue of timeless communication, public education, and the responses to the committee, and informing the public about, you know, the state of the grid, those things that the associates need to communicate.
Tommy, you're done.
There's only one more issue, Chair. On the issue of the communication that Honorable Gumede raised, that every board who is affected by this is informed on the recommendation. Just to note that what happens after this, the report will be to Parliament, and then it's adopted. that the speaker now writes to the minister involved and extrapolate all the recommendations that were put into a letter to the minister, so the minister must implement, and then that particular report must be sent back to Parliament, to the speaker, then the speaker sends to the committee. But now if the minister says that quarterly the committee needs this, the minister must ensure that we respond to the committee quarterly.
Any other matter, honorable members? Okay. Can we adopt the report? Because at the end of the day, we have to adopt the report, of course, with all the recommendations that have been made. Honorable Shabala? Supported by Honorable Mkwanazi? With all unanimity on that, with all the additions that we had. Thank you so much, honorable members. The meeting is closed. Okay, let's start with this September, the 8th of September minutes. Minutes of the Portugal Public Enterprise, the 8th September. Yes, it's the 8th of September, the 8th of October, the 9th of October. Let's start with the 8th of October. The one that we had, the committee room before. I'm saying 18th September, I remember. Thank you. The first page is the attendance register there. The opening remarks on page 2. Presentation of the Department of Public Enterprise. Presentation of Alliance Corp. The discussion to page 3, page 4, presentation of South African Airways discussion up to page 5, consideration and adoption of the minutes, adjournment to the minutes, honorable members. Is it a true reflection of our meeting? Honorable Commander?
I just wanted to find out that there are deadlines here.
Yes.
I don't know whether it was considered this report after the effect. I just wanted to find out what do we say on the some other items that were to the commission.
You are talking in relation to these minutes?
Yes.
Monsoon?
Yeah. So the deadlines basically are commitments that were made by the department to the committee that by end of September forensic investigation will be done at Alexco. And then the committee, they committed that they will send, they will inform the committee as soon as that forensic investigation are done. The second commitment that was made was that by the 8th of October, the agreement with Alexco will be signed with the Northern Cape Department and also the national government in terms of the handing over the township. So, like the chair said, there is a problem of the department actually delivering on what it has to deliver. When we send them a letter, they don't respond. When we send in 40 days, they don't respond within 40 days.
This is where the oversight matter comes in, because this is what we need to. So if that can be reflected as a question on the discussion that we have the stakeholder engagement and ISO in this financial year.
Yes.
Before we are
as part of the meeting.
Yes, thanks.
Right. As objected with the by honorable commander with the
seconded by Honorable Shabalala this time. On the 8th of October, we met at Gulub Chamber 11, raised by Auditor General on the Auditor Comes of the Department and state owner companies for 2018-2019 financial year. Page 2 opening remarks, presentation, discussion. Page 3 presentation and annual report, public department discussion. Page 4 continuation of the discussion, the meeting agenda for the past, I mean, at 5 to 4. Yeah.
You see that the minutes are addressed only on sanitation because most of the matters we try and put them in the budgetary report for as well in preparation for the current budget. Yeah.
Shabalala? Did we call the city minister Mr. Pumule Maswale? Is this the right thing? No, I don't know. Pumule Maswale, because you wrote his name.
We go to the 9th October meeting, which was in Committee Room 2, Bridge Street.
That's not a thing that is
doing. No, but
my issue here is that the committee was straight and clear on the issue of engaging Soweto as one of the stakeholders.
I will add 4.1.3 as a resolution of the committee. Mm-hmm. Instead of being there, then I will just add a resolution, then I can committee resolve to go to S4. And we start to go to Soweto.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. But outside this, the meeting which we said this committee, we need to go to Soweto together with them.
What that for?
With us, we will still
I think we might resolve as a committee from this minute to say we need to go to the source as part of the oversight based on this.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we were straightforward.
Yes. Honorable Mkwanazi, supported by equal to trees.
Oh.
Yeah. We're done.
There is an email that I sent out to the MP regarding there's a gentleman from Denel who used to write to the committee about Denel. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote to the speaker as a petition. It's regarding his unfair dismissal and all that.
Oh.
And then what we did, the chair wrote to the minister to say that, can you please appraise us as to what happened? But they never said that. We gave them 40 days, they never.
Is that for the last?
It long lasts, check.
Okay.
Yeah. And then around the issue of Soweto also, because we have raised it, there is a petition from those communities, right? But it was sent to the COCTA committee. What I'm going to find out, because I'm going to tell them that the committee intends to go there. Whether COCTA will go in or not, because it was sent to both committees. But they will report on it, they will not report. But we will go because ESCOM has got a problem on the head and those things. So, yeah.
So those are competition.
Yeah, employers everywhere need to commit those crimes. We need to make a full hub. We need to. What about Shabana?
I think I've covered
when
there's a petition, what if you. Let it be clear that as this committee, so we're not prejudiced by other committee processes, let us involve the petition case. Obviously, we will involve the MEC of that province, make sure, because an MEC of COCTA, the very councillors, you know, the stakeholders that need to be, including the PSC, what do you call it, NCOP, Chairperson Committee that belongs to the public enterprise, see if we can make it a joint and we look into the program so that it happens before you arrive. Thanks.
Okay.
Maybe just to add that in the having last this administration of parliament, we also responded to a petition, so there might be a progress report on that we can get for this government.
On the same as thank you so much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.